Welcome. This is the next edition of Total Health with Dr. Cage. Today's episode is entitled Your Health and Your Spiritual Nature. This is one of the most empowering aspects of health, which is sadly often completely overlooked by almost everyone. This aspect relates to the fullness of our holistic nature as human beings. We have a physical body, a mental, emotional nature, and a spiritual nature. Spirituality is a subject that unfortunately has become misunderstood in our culture. We hear that the three things one must never discuss at parties are politics, sex, and religion. As a result, we now have a culture that is largely unable to have polite discussions about politics, sex, or religion. When they do come up in conversation, and let's face it, they will inevitably come up in conversation, that conversation usually devolves. It will devolve quickly into a shouting match with hot emotions ruling the day, hurt feelings, people storming out of the room, and not speaking to the others involved for months, sometimes forever. These are among the biggest subjects being used to divide our country and the world. If you missed some of my earlier podcasts, and this is the first one in this series you were listening to, many of this information is based on my book, Heal Your Life, Heal the World. This is a summary of my lessons learned from roughly two decades of clinical experience as to what actually works to get sick people healthy and keep them that way. Let me say right up front, this subject is not intended to convert any of you to any particular religion. It is not intended to convert you to any particular New Age cult. I have no motive in talking to you about the spiritual nature of the universe and each of us individual humans, except to make you aware that you do in fact have a spiritual nature. And your spiritual nature can have a great impact on your overall health and quality of life. This podcast and the corresponding chapter in my book are intended to help reconnect you with your true nature as a holistic, multidimensional being, which you are. Furthermore, at some level of consciousness, you already know this. So this is a remembering when you hear this. It is not just me spouting off new information that you'll never heard before or never hear again. No matter what religion you have, no matter how you practice your religion, or even if you don't have one, no matter what other spiritual practices you may or may not have, I invite you to engage with this material as if you're hearing it for the first time. Religions over the years have kind of gotten themselves a bad name, and much of it is historically justified. Many authors over the years have observed, that in human history, probably more people have been killed in the name of God than all other reasons combined. I'm not going to go into every gruesome detail because many other authors have already done that. As a result, there are a great many people who feel that a connection to the divine have looked elsewhere to find descriptions of and a connection with something higher. Sometimes these investigations have been more academic and philosophical. Other times they might be more practical and take the form of what, over the last 200 years or so, has come to be called spiritual movements. The word spiritual is supposed to be an acknowledgement that, first and foremost, humans are spiritual beings who had our source in the spiritual planes of existence. Some organized religions acknowledge that there are, in fact, planes of existence, what modern physicists might refer to as alternate dimensions or alternate universes, and this shows up as descriptions of heaven or hell in some religions. What most modern religions do, however, is to claim that humans are physical beings who, if we behave correctly, after we die, we will go to the good spiritual dimension of heaven, and if not, we go to the bad spiritual dimension of hell. The major flaw in this theory is to claim that we human beings are merely physical beings attempting to have a good spiritual experience. In fact, what the vast majority of the oldest religions, the oldest philosophical systems, and spiritual belief systems state is just the opposite. We are instead spiritual beings here on earth to have a physical experience. The more the majority of these spiritual systems that acknowledge our spiritual nature, what they claim is that when we came here to earth to live an incarnation in this physical world, we came here with a specific purpose. Some will refer to this as your dharma, your divine mission, your life contract, your true will, your true purpose, your divine purpose, and other similar names. Most of us, though, have a hard time remembering what it was we came to this incarnation to accomplish, primarily because our society, our culture as a whole, has forgotten or ignored this part of our existence, and hence we aren't raising our children in the ways that would help them retain those memories throughout our lives. What this means is that most who come to some level of spiritual knowledge during their lives have to spend a great deal of time and effort trying to remember our true spiritual purpose in life. We end up going to workshop after workshop, class after class, retreat after retreat, and struggle to learn and master all the different ways of regaining this knowledge. Who are we? And what did we come here to do? Throughout recorded history, these have been some of the core questions asked and explored by most philosophers and systems of philosophy. The field of philosophy, however, despite its successes in analyzing our world in some cases, has a limitation that all knowledge it produces seems to be theoretical. To gain an answer, to know the truth for ourselves, we have to move from the theoretical into the practical. Most of the classes, workshops, and retreats I just mentioned are aimed at teaching some version of the consciousness skills needed to access the divine mission we each can access. What we came here to do, the knowledge of what it is we came to earth to do in this lifetime. For the sake of consistency in this podcast, I will call this divine mission you are on your true purpose. So here is where this very simple introduction to spirituality meets the subject of your health. The skills of consciousness I just mentioned require your body, especially your nervous system, to be optimally functioning. Think of your nervous system as an antenna network for the higher frequency energies we use in our higher plane communications. These energies are most accurately described in the scientific field of quantum mechanics. I have another podcast coming up soon in this series, which will explore the subject in great detail. In addition to the volumes of information from indigenous cultures around the world that discuss the subtle energies of our body, most commonly referred to as qi, there is now a great deal of scientific evidence supporting this phenomenon as well. For you to master these skills of consciousness, it is extremely beneficial for your entire body to be functioning at its optimal best. Thus, the answer to the question, why should I bother to be healthy, comes down to you should choose to be healthy to assist yourself in accomplishing your true spiritual purpose in life, your true purpose. Just so you are clear, this is not the type of information you're going to receive from your average mainstream medical system. It isn't the sort of information being propagated by mainstream media. Mainstream media, in fact, seems dedicated to the proposition that there is no spiritual side of the universe, that there is no higher divine powers at all. Even worse, mainstream media seems, and I say seems, to be attempting to create the picture that the vast majority of the world doesn't believe in any higher power in the universe that most call God, that there is, in fact, nothing to see here at all. Move along, folks. Ignore that man behind the curtain. if we were to believe mainstream media, those who actually still believe in the higher power and are attempting to live their lives in keeping with some type of higher moral or ethical code are few in number, probably just nut jobs who persist in believing these quaint old wives' tales. If that really isn't the intent of mainstream media, well, they're doing a really good job of pretty much pretending that it is. If the small handful of conglomerates who own and control all of the media in the world really want to promote the fact that the vast majority of the world really does believe in God, really does believe in a higher universal intelligence, then I invite them and encourage them to provide equal coverage and start stating these things directly. In actual fact, when I take a look at my entire circle of family, friends, colleagues, and acquaintances, I honestly don't know anybody who doesn't acknowledge a higher power in the universe. Now, all these friends in my circle, all my friends and family who do believe in a higher power have very different ways of practicing their spiritual beliefs. They have different religions. What they share, however, is a core belief in something higher than ourselves. History has shown that to have the best chance of communicating with this higher power, we ourselves need to be optimally healthy. Many different traditions around the world prescribe different types of diet to eat, different foods to avoid. They might use different procedures of cleanliness, bathing, detoxification. They may suggest the best types of clothing or other methods that are all intended to make us more successful in our attempts to communicate with the divine. Similar types of diets and techniques come from all over the world, and adherents and practitioners of these techniques all claim they work. They know better connection with their prayers, better ability to hear answers to their prayers, and better success with meditation and achieving the different states of higher consciousness that permit them to know their true purpose in life. Then, knowing that, they report a better ability to receive the information, the gnosis, of how to then accomplish their true purpose, what they are here on earth to do. Depending on how you were raised, this information I've shared so far may be very new and paradigm-busting for you, or it may be old hat. To underscore the importance of this level of knowledge, I'd like to share a story from the early days of my clinical practice. An individual came to see me with numerous illnesses. In fact, just about every aspect of the physical body had problems. The skin, the musculoskeletal system and joints, the GI tract, the immune system, the endocrine system, the nervous system, all were involved. After taking a full history and hearing how all the problems began, the patient asked me if I could help. Further inquiries on my part led me to believe there wasn't just an unfortunate series of physical illnesses at work, but there was actually something taking place that involved the patient's spiritual nature. I asked if they had ever heard of the idea of a true spiritual purpose in life. "Oh, yes," was the answer. "I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. I talked to God and was told exactly what my purpose is." I replied with something to the effect that, "Wow, that's great, that's wonderful. Most people have to spend years in meditation and other work to find out that information. How is it going?" Well, I was not at all prepared for the response. "Oh, I'm not going to do it. I refused." After slowly recovering from my shock at this reply, I asked when this event had occurred. Turns out the patient's reception of this knowledge and refusal to answer the life calling took place just prior to the onset of the numerous illnesses. I pointed out the timing and asked the patient how things were working out since then. "Oh, terrible," was the answer. "Everything in my life, my job, my family, living situation, all my health has gotten worse. Can you help me?" My answer was, "Yes. Yes, I can. What you need to do is go home and start doing what God told you to do. If you do that, everything in your life and your health will start getting better." That was not the answer the patient wanted to hear, apparently. after reiterating her absolute refusal to follow the true purpose laid out by God, the patient left and I never saw him again. Needless to say, that story has stuck with me. I've actually had a similar situation come up with people a few more times. And fortunately, my advice to follow what their divine mission was generally better received than in this first instance. I can personally tell you from a number of similar patient stories, as well as the advanced spiritual work I've done on myself, as well as the teachings from a number of highly trained spiritual leaders, that the concept of a true purpose in life is absolutely true. Furthermore, the healthier you keep yourself in your physical body, your mind, and your emotions, and by adopting a spiritual practice that is meaningful to you and positive for humanity, the more successful you will be at tuning in to learn your true purpose in life. One of the keys on this path, which I discuss at length in Chapter 4 of Heal Your Life, Heal the World, is converting all this knowledge and information about the spiritual structure of the universe from a theory into an actual practice. To highlight the difference between theory and practice, let me use the subject of exercise as an example, physical exercise. Most of us know that exercise is good for us. More studies than we could ever read or ever even count confirm that. You may understand the theory that exercise can benefit your muscles, your joints, cardiovascular system, as well as help relieve stress, calm your mind. Exercise can reduce the risk of falling, and that extends your longevity. Exercise, physical exercise, reduces the risk of many chronic illnesses. All of that, however, is theory. And if, despite all that knowledge, you still don't actually exercise regularly, then you do not have an exercise practice. You only have an exercise theory. Spiritual work is no different. You can understand the theory of spirituality, but if you don't put it into practice, just like our exercise example here, you won't gain the benefits of actually practicing your spiritual beliefs. Much of Chapter 4 of my book presents examples of how to begin a simple spiritual practice, including suggestions for finding further instruction if you need it. I don't tell you what specific path to follow in this. Your relationship with what you consider to be the divine is far too personal and too important for me to be able to suggest anything for you. All I'm doing here is pointing you in the direction of a very important door to a very important part of your life and your health. I can encourage you to open that door and enter it, but you have to do the work. Keep this in mind as you ponder the material in this series of podcasts about your health and your consciousness. Keep it in mind as you read my book. It can give you a much larger and longer-term perspective on the importance of everything else I present. I think that's enough for today, however. I want to thank you for listening. Please subscribe to this podcast so you automatically get all the updates and get notified of my next one. For the best explanation of all my material, I do suggest you start with my book, Heal Your Life, Heal the World. It's available through all the major online booksellers, and my website has a link as well as a description, www.drcagesays.org. That's drcagesays.org. The website, you will find links to all my other courses and workshops and all my professional consulting services. You can sign up for my email newsletter, which I don't use to overflow your inbox. I only send out a few times a month at most. I want to thank you for listening. Please tune in the future. And until next time, this is Dr. Cage wishing you good health.